All right, that was a little Plainfield Moving Crew for you there, a track called The Dive, and you are listening to the Velcro Touch Radio Network. I'm Adam Kittle, your host. Well, it is the 10 o'clock hour on the Eastern Coast, and the 7 o'clock hour pacifist time. 4 o'clock where Kevin is. I don't know. Anyways, and I don't know, it's in the wee hours where CJ is. Anyways, we are upon it. It is time for our feature of the night, and that feature will, of course, involve none other than Mr. Bart Brady Cempa, who is a probably best known for his flugelhorn playing, at least around these parts. He's actually plays several different instruments, and he plays them all rather well, if I do say so myself. Real interesting guy, him and his wife, and I had the opportunity to interview him last week in Austin, Texas, and had dinner with him, and we spent a lot of time talking and getting to know each other, and it was pretty, you know, pretty good night. Bart's a really, really good guy, and so we're going to get right to it. I, of course, do have a taped interview here, and we will be featuring a lot of his tunage as we go through this. This feature will be, of course, about an hour or something like that. Anyways, let me load up this playlist. This, of course, is Bart Brady Cempa, and what I'm going to do first is we're going to start it off with a pair of his tracks. I picked these randomly and hopefully spread them out enough. We're going to start it off with one of my personal favorites of his, a track called Dindy, and then a recent rendition after that of the Pink Floyd tune called Hey You. So, without further ado, here we go. Bart Brady Cempa feature. And we're going to kick it off right after this.
Hello, I'm Frank Cotolo. And the reason I'm doing my own promo for my Amcast.com show, Cotolo Chronicles, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is because I enjoy talking. But more than enjoying talking, I enjoy you listening because you're my friend. Because we have things to communicate to one another. So please, come on down to Cotolo Chronicles and listen to things you'll never hear before. Again, or anytime, or I'll personally bite your nostrils off.
Yo, what's up? This is Scott from Low Fat Productions, and you are listening to Velcro Touch Radio here on Amcast.com. I want to remind you to check out all of the radio shows here on Amcast.com. There's certainly a lot of them. Certainly a lot of them. So be sure to check them out when you have an opportunity. And yeah, maybe. Thank you.
that's Mr. Bart Brady Ciampa doing his version of Pink Floyd's Hey You from the 1979 release The Wall. And coming up next, we're going to go ahead and do the first part of the interview with Bart. Let me do say once again that we got together in Austin last week to do this interview and had a really good time. Him and his wife are very, very interesting, diverse people. And I think you're going to enjoy this. So without further ado, we're just going to get right into it. This is the interview with Bart Brady Ciampa. He has a lot of really, really interesting things to say. So let's get right to it.
I'm sitting here in a room with Mr. Bart Brady Ciampa. This, of course, is Adam Kittle of Velcro Touch Radio. And we're going to do a little impromptu interview. Well, it's not really an interview, more or less just a couple of guys having a drink and just talking about Bart's music and what he's done with it, the career and all that. So, first of all, Bart, say hello.
Hello. Here I am.
Yeah.
Beer in hand.
Beer in hand. Okay. We're good. We're good. I guess the first thing I would want to ask you is, how did you get interested in music, and what instruments have you played, and mm-hmm. that kind of thing over the years?
Well, like most musicians, I started as a little kid. I was about 9 years old when I started actually playing the trumpet and taking lessons.
Right.
Playing the trumpet. Played all through school. And played through college and, played in bands and did all that kind of thing. Then I, later on, wanted to... When I started having children, they always wanted to have me play songs that we could all sing to. So I decided to take up... an instrument that I could sing and play at the same time, which is really hard to do with the trumpet. So I started, believe it or not, playing the five-string banjo.
Oh.
And got to the point where I was in a number of bluegrass bands in the Northeast and did a whole lot of, Foggy Mountain Breakdown kind of stuff. In fact, I even started building banjos and selling them. And still have a couple banjos and a couple guitars too. I did fretted instruments mainly, but then I came back to the trumpet about 10 years ago. My oldest daughter, the daughter that we're visiting right here now in Austin, her son was diagnosed as ADHD and had difficulty sleeping. So she asked me if I would, tape record some songs on the horn. Some soothing uh-huh. songs to help the kid go to sleep.
Right.
So I started, doing these little songs on cassette tape, like this little cassette that you got right here, and mailing them to her. And then she wanted to know if I could do them, with backgrounds. So I would make up a background and tape that, and then overdub the trumpet onto it.
So you started doing it with the accompaniment.
Yeah. Yeah. Just started doing, accompanying myself. And that led to the recording that I do now. I mean, that was very, very rudimentary, and before the days of the digital revolution.
Right.
But that's basically how I got started in the recording part of it.
Okay. So you haven't. So recording is what you're saying is a fairly new thing to you.
Yeah, within about the past 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early on, when I was in school, we made the recordings on vinyl in those days.
Right.
But nothing, nothing digital until, recently.
So I noticed you mentioned that, you were playing bluegrass and building banjos and all that stuff. What was jazz always an ongoing thing with you, or is it kind of been in and out, or how did that turn out?
Well, I'll tell you, luckily as a kid, I was born and raised north of Boston, and within a few miles of my home was the premier jazz venue for the whole Northeast.
Right.
So yeah. That when I was a young man, I don't know if you've ever heard of Zoot Sims, the saxophone player?
It rings a bell.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful jazz saxophone player. Played with Woody Herman along with Al Cohn. He was one of the brothers,
okay,
the saxophone brothers on Woody Herman's band for years. Anyway, I used to babysit for his kid.
Oh, really?
Fact. Oh, yeah. Anyway, I lived in this house when I was a young married guy, and within a few miles of this place called Lenny's on the Pike, and all of the jazz greats, whenever they would come to Boston, Lenny's was the venue that they would use to play.
Right.
It was a relatively small club, but Woody Herman's Herd used to play there. I can remember seeing, you know, Chet Baker, Dizzy Gillespie, Alan Dawson, Lambert Hendrickson Ross, Lambert Hendrickson Bavin. As a matter of fact, I got some funny stories to tell about Dave Lambert when he used to stay at the house that I was living in. And Zoot Sims and Al Cohn used to come and play.
Right.
They'd go to Lenny's and play till 2 in the morning, and then they'd come home loaded, half loaded, and he'd start playing at 2 o'clock in the morning upstairs, you know, that kind of thing. So I got really interested in jazz as a young guy.
So you got exposed to it real
oh, yeah. Early. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I really liked all kinds of different music. When I was a little kid, my mom used to buy all the Harry James 78s and play the Harry James, big band records and stuff like that. My
right.
mother was a big music fan.
Okay. I guess the other thing I'm curious to know was as far as what other instruments do you play besides, when did you start off with horn, or was
yeah.
did that come later?
No, I started with the okay. trumpet and did the cornet and flugelhorn. Flugelhorn actually was the last, and that's my that's really my favorite instrument.
Yeah, I can. That's what I was going to ask if
yeah.
When that came into play, because of course everybody that listens out there and has listened to your stuff either on my show or one of the other shows here on Ampcast or elsewhere, mm-hmm. You're well known for the smooth flugelhorn sound that you
right.
have. It's one of the smoothest sounds I've ever heard on
well,
the
thank
flugelhorn.
You.
It's great. But I was wondering what other instruments besides banjo and the ones that you just listed have you played? Sounds like you play a little bit of keyboard.
Just to get by. Just to get by.
For your accompaniment.
Backgrounds and stuff like
yeah.
that. Yeah,
okay.
I've got a Yamaha PSR keyboard up in my studio.
Okay.
But mainly I use the Roland Sound Canvas SC-8850.
Okay.
Module, synthesizer module
right.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how I mainly do my backgrounds. Usually start with a drum line and piano line and, add. And what I like to do is, it's probably very, pedestrian to digital musicians, but what I like to do is to convert all my stuff into analog.
Uh-huh.
And I do all my trumpet tracks and flugelhorn tracks in analog because I think it has a warmer feel to it, has a warmer sound to it.
Yeah.
So I don't do anything direct to digital. I do all of my recordings to analog, and then I sync them up as analog wave files and get them together that way.
So you basically record the analog tape first and then go to the computer.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you just out of curiosity? What do you record on? What kind of is it? Like a reel-to-reel machine?
No, I'm using a mini disc.
Mini disc.
I use a mini disc.
Okay.
Then I go from I use analog to mini disc to CD. Then I take those wave files, put them on the computer, and then I do all of my editing and mixing, from the wave files.
But it seems to me that the critical thing is hitting, capturing the analog harmonics of it before you actually get, well, really to mini disc, since mini disc is a digital format in of itself.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. What else can I ask you? Because we're just kind of sitting here drinking. And one thing I'm curious about, and I'm sure that the listeners and other musicians, you know, especially other musicians, mm-hmm. you know, jazz musicians, I would be curious to know what other indie, you know, musicians, jazz musicians, or really anybody out there that you particularly like, and if you're influenced by them, or
right.
or what. I've just, you know, whatever. You know, just wondering what.
Well, there are a lot of trumpet players, obviously, over the years that I've been influenced by,
right?
And a whole lot of saxophone players. I simply like mellow music, regardless of whatever the instrument is. I really like, but I also like Latin stuff. I've written a whole lot of Latin stuff, a lot of original compositions. Most of the songs on my website are cover tunes,
right?
And I usually select a cover tune based on something that's interesting, like that Hey You tune, that Pink Floyd tune.
Yeah, the one that played.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that, or like the Chorus, you know, the Chorus, the Family Group, really, really interesting stuff. And I've even got a version of Stairway to Heaven on my site, you know. So I like these interesting kind of, one-of-a-kind kind of tunes.
Right.
So they're, most of my original tunes that used to be on my website, I've taken them off. I think of the 102 tunes that are on the website, I think only the last five or six are original tunes. Right. And then there's that Velcro Touch Radio, the Velcro Touch tune that I did for you that's on there. That's another original one, but... But I've been influenced by a whole lot of different folks, and I like groups like L.A. Carpool and a lot of indie groups.
L.A. Carpool is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Really, really.
Yeah, we've gotten people to dance on our webcams with some of their music.
Oh, yeah. Excellent stuff.
Yeah, because me personally, I mean, I'm primarily a keyboard player, and I can't, I can't do the horn stuff. But you know, guys like you, Nick Drozdoff.
Nick is excellent.
Yeah, there's a couple others. What is that guy's name? I think it's a guy that you know that I play every once in a while too.
Liz Beck in Carolina.
Yeah, Liz Beck. I'm also
Greg Lawrence.
Greg
Lawrence. Yeah. I know Greg.
Yeah,
good guy. Yeah, and you know all the people on Amcast. Most of the folks on Amcast I really, really like. Kevin Fletcher Tweedy's an excellent composer and musician. Dave from Modesto, excellent. Edison Freeman, John Ingram, Frank Atolo. You know all those guys. Just C.J. Ray, Stuart from Edinburgh,
Stuart Mitchell, yeah.
Wonderful musicians. I mean, so it doesn't matter what instrument they play. I mean, they're all excellent musicians, and excellent musicians are a real inspiration. You know, I mean, you can just pick up so much from them, no matter what instrument they play. Vocalists like Kim Novak, wonderful styling. Eva from Seattle. Wonderful.
Yeah, Eva Moon.
Eva Moon. Wonderful. So.
Okay. Well, as far as what about are there any? We could use the term commercial groups that you go for, either currently or from the past. Who would you say influences you that way?
You remember where we were talking a little while ago at supper? We were talking about the Eagles.
Yeah.
And Marguerite and I, my wife and I, have been Eagles fans and Doobie Brothers fans for years. And I mean, you know, they go back a long way.
Right.
And we recently, I think it was on a PBS station, saw a couple excerpts from the Eagles concert in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
And we really liked it. So I sent off to the DVD. Let me tell you. their musicianship. As these guys, I mean, this is an inspiration to me as an older guy. These guys are about my age now.
Right.
Man, they're still going strong. Their musicianship has improved. It hasn't diminished with their age. They've gotten, their harmony's gotten tighter. Joe Walsh, the guitar player, as an example. I mean, his playing now, and Joe Walsh is almost just about my age. And man, I tell you, he's as hip and as cool and as competent. So I really dig the Eagles and the Doobie Brothers even to this day.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see you do a Pink Floyd cover.
So oh, yeah.
I guess you're kind of a little bit of a Floyd fan, too.
Yeah, yeah. Grateful Dead, you know, these guys. You know, every once in a while something will... I might not like 9 out of 10 of their tunes, but that 10th one,
right.
Look out, you know.
So you're not really that choosy about, say, either a genre or
no.
particular or so much the way thing... I guess with you... The way that I personally, approach music is, I don't judge the genre so much as the execution of it,
or absolutely,
just how it makes me feel, or what kind of vibe I'm getting. So are you just kind of in the same?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
If a tune strikes you, if it's just that it's got that little quirk to it that makes it interesting, a lot of the stuff that I've done has been fairly straightforward, 32 bars, three choruses, that kind of thing. But every once in a while you come up against a tune, like that Pink Floyd tune, and there's another one that I'm in the process of doing right now by Bowie, David Bowie.
Okay.
And there's just that little twist that, it's not even a hook, it's just a twist. That that just sucks you in and makes it an interesting tune. You know?
Okay, well that sounds. I'm looking forward to that. David Bart Brady Chimpa does David Bowie.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we won't tell the name of the song.
That'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
Now next, all I have to do is a Gene Simmons tune and
Gene Simmons
paint my face while I'm playing, take a picture, and then that'll be the end, I guess.
You'd have to stick your tongue out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, a long way.
And there you have it, part of the interview there I did with Bart Brady Chimpa there. Yeah, I don't know how Kiss got into that conversation, but it did. These things just tend to happen. Anyways, you are listening to the Velcro Touch Radio Network. I'm Adam Kittle, your host, and we just finished up listening to the first half of an interview I did with Mr. Bart Brady Chimpa last Monday, a week ago Monday, in Austin, Texas. And, like I said, a real interesting guy, has a lot of... has a very articulate in how he views and describes things. Anyways, we're going to go to a couple more of Bart's tracks here, and then we're going to get to the second half of the interview. But right now we're going to listen to a track called Jardin Botanico, and we're going to follow it up with another one of my personal favorites, a track called Morocco. You're listening to the Bart Brady Chimpa feature right here on the Velcro Touch Radio Network. You, of course, are tuned in to either Amcast.com, SupertracksRadio.com, CygnusRadio.com, KJAG Radio, KUBC, or SRN1. Enjoy. Bart Brady, Chempo, a little track there called Morocco. Before that, we heard Jardin Botanico. Two very, very nice tracks in Bart Brady, Chempo's library, and he's got quite the extensive one, really good stuff. You know, it's funny because Bart says that he plays just a little bit of keyboard, but that lead, that little guitar synth lead there in that last tune sounded pretty tasty to me. Anyways, you, of course, are right in the middle of the Bart Brady Chempa feature, and we're going to go ahead and go right to the second half of the interview that was taped in his hotel room. I'm, of course, Adam Kittle, your host, and you're listening to the Velcro Touch Radio Network. Here it comes.
Well, what do you see yourself doing in the future as far as not only, you know, like, not only the cover tunes that you do, but are you, have you given thought more to writing some more original stuff?
Yeah.
What are your general plans in the future as a musician?
What I'd like to do, I was telling you a while ago about this new Morrison Digital Trumpet wind synthesizer, and I'd really like to get into that, and I'll tell you why. In addition to all the general MIDI sounds and the Yamaha MIDI sounds, 127 different instruments and sounds that you can do. Using that would rather than using a keyboard synthesizer, I'd be playing virtually a trumpet-style instrument, but be able to get any instrument out of it. I could do an oboe or a soprano sax or the drums or you name it. I mean, anything that a keyboard could do with all of the MIDI sounds, but I could do it with a Morrison Digital Trumpet and do all of my backgrounds, you know, each, you know, I could do a horn line, a drum line, a keyboard line, a strings line, you name it, and then be able to sync them all up together, and then do, I could do my trumpet on a regular trumpet or flugelhorn, or do it on the wind synthesizer. So that's something that's really exciting. As far as composing, if I had blocks of time. We usually have 3 or 4 days in one place at a time, as I was telling you. But if I had blocks of time, I'd like to spend a whole lot of time doing a lot more composing. And when I compose, it tends to be the Latin genre. I really, you know, I just like the sound of the, you know, everything from Moringa to salsa to, you know, Brazilian samba, on and on.
Yeah, I think I have a couple of your Latin tunes in my library, and I do remember those particular. I mean, I like pretty much everything that you do, but those do kind of. When you mentioned that, of course, I was going to say something, but I just figured I'd let you talk. But that is one thing I've noticed. You know, your Latin tunes were a lot of fun to listen to. In fact, I think I previewed or featured one not too terribly long ago.
I think
that
so.
That was fairly new, a few months back.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
One of my earlier albums was an album called Twilight Interlude, and I think there are 13 original tunes on that. Most of them are Latin tunes, and one is called Twilight Samba. Mm-hmm. And there's another called Habana Sunset, and you know, and along like that, you know. They've got that traditional Latin beat and rhythm. I kind of like those, but I don't know. You know, if I hear an interesting sound or an interesting line, or you know, get an idea, I write it down, and I've got you know, a box full of little slips of paper with song ideas, and
so you do it the same way that Benny Hill did it with his ideas. Just
And then
just grab a piece of paper and write the ideas down, and then like send them back to the studio.
Put it away somewhere. Maybe someday I'll have enough time to get to it. You know.
Right.
But I really love music of all kinds.
Okay, well, let me see. What else can I ask you since I've got your full undivided attention? I guess one thing people out there might be curious about, just about your general background. I mean, you know, what have you, what is your general background? I mean, not so much musically, but, just professionally, or, what you've done, what your interests are, or just whatever you feel comfortable with telling us.
Well, I was educated back just outside of Boston and born and raised. Ethnic parents, immigrant grandparents, that kind of thing. And so we always had a lot of music around. And also, even though none of the people in the family had gotten an education, that was a real priority. So they made sure that that their children were educated. So went to college, got a bachelor's degree in mathematics and natural sciences, and taught math and science and chemistry and so forth for a number of years, and then got a master's degree in counseling psychology, and was a counselor, a high school counselor, and then a high school administrator, and was the headmaster of a private academy in New Hampshire for a while.
You've done some work along lines of what Nick does. Nick draws off that.
Yeah.
The same kind of field.
Yeah. And then after that, went to a private college in Maine, and I was the director of teacher training there for 9 years. And during that period of time, I got a PhD from Boston College, 1972. How many years ago is that?
About 33 years ago.
A long time.
Yeah.
I was, as I said, director of teacher training at that school, at that college, for 9 years. And then went from there to Wayne State in Nebraska, part of the state university system in Nebraska, and I was dean of the graduate school there for 6 years. And then my wife, by the way, also has a PhD, and she is a clinical psychologist, and she was the head of the psychology department also at Wayne State.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I don't have to go out and pay for my shrinks. I just have them built in.
You got one right in your house?
I got them built in. Yeah. I don't even have to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all free. She takes it out in trade, I guess. I guess we could say that. But then after that, we started our own business. We moved to Washington. Marguerite's mom had a massive stroke, and we had to pick up stakes and moved from Nebraska. We moved to Washington State. We started our own investment business. We started knocking on doors, and we ultimately ended up with 1,200 clients, and sold that business about, how many years ago? Seven years ago we sold that business, and we've been retired ever since, and just sort of messing around since then.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned to me, I mean, not in this interview, but haven't you been involved with the medical field a little bit, too? Or was it more of, or is that what you were speaking of with the psychology?
Well, yeah, my wife especially has done a whole lot with the medical part of counseling. And I've been on the receiving end of the medical stuff. But
I know the feeling.
Yeah, really, really.
Yeah.
And we do a whole lot of we used to do seminars that had to do with health and wealth, and we used to do nutrition and that sort of thing. We used to combine that with investing, and we got a lot of good feedback. We used to travel and do that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I guess the one thing I was curious about, as far as your education in music, was it, were you mainly a self-taught player, or have you had formal lessons, or was it combination?
Well, actually, I had a chance at a music scholarship when I was in high school to go to Lowell State University, now outside of Boston in Lowell, Mass. But by the time I graduated from high school, I was also interested in science. I was also interested in math. And so I had to make a choice. And you know, you kind of get burned out as a kid with all of the performances and marching band and all that kind of stuff. So when I was a 17-year-old senior in high school, I decided that music would be fun rather than drudgery. And so I started playing for fun. After I I took formal lessons for 10 years.
Right.
And when I graduated from high school, I decided that all of my playing after that would be for things I really wanted to do. So I did a whole lot of college gigs and bands and stuff like that, but mainly for fun. So that part of it was formal, I suppose. And then after that was more or less self-taught and for fun. Every once in a while I take a lesson. You know, I run into someone like Dave Manette in Portland, or any musician willing to sit down and give a pointer or two.
Right.
And, like Roddy over in England, and you know, people like that. And you know, a lesson's always great. And you know, that's basically it—a combination of the two, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just keeping the eye on the tape here.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, it's been enlightening, I guess. Is there anything that you would personally want to add? Or I guess another thing that I would be curious to hear, and that the listeners would be curious to hear, is what would your, you know, advice to be to, you know, somebody that's young and aspiring as, you know, as a musician?
That's easy. I've got a grandson right now who's a music major at Portland State University, and when he was a little kid, I started teaching him the trumpet. He was a really good trumpet player, as a matter of fact. And my main advice to any musician is to play every day. You've got to play every day, no matter what. You have to play every day. If you travel, you take your instrument with you, unless it's a piano, because you can find a piano just about anywhere. But if you play the horn, take it with you. Get a little horn like this little, you know, pocket trumpet here. Take it along, play every day. Try not to miss a day. If you can play twice a day. Now, my grandson right now is playing the guitar 3 to 4 hours a day as a music major. And the main thing is play every day, but make it fun. You know, do your scales, do your warm-ups and stuff like that. Do your, for me, it's chop building kind of exercises. You know, do those, but don't overdo it. And have a lot of fun with the instrument, and make it so you look forward to it every day rather than it being drudgery. This, to me, playing the horn is a treat. I look forward to it every single day, and a day doesn't go by. My wife will tell you, a day doesn't go by when I just have a ball. I'm just having a blast.
Well, that's great. It sounds. I picked that up when I hear your music pieces, you know, how much fun you're having.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's great advice.
Yeah.
It's advice that I probably should take every once in a while, because, you know, people get caught up in their lives and all that.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
But, I'm kind of at an impasse here. But I just want to say I really, you know, have enjoyed doing this interview. And well, it's not really an interview.
Yeah, I'm just sitting.
It's kind of shooting the breeze, but...
Yeah. Time for another beer.
Yeah. But anyways, and of course, that, now I know what a, what is it, a pocket trumpet.
I'll blow a couple.
Okay, we're going to blow a couple more notes out of this pocket. This is just for Abby.
That's right.
Yeah. It really does exist. It's not a toy. It's a real instrument. It sounds pretty good.
Indeed. There you have it. Interview there with Mr. Bart Brady Chimpa that was done last week. And really interesting guy. I guess the thing that I could say about Bart the most, both him and his wife, actually, is that, you know, they just have a lot of... not only a lot of insight, but a lot of foundation to what they talk about, which in this day and age is kind of a rarity. And also, that pocket trumpet. I called it a pocket trombone, but it's a pocket trumpet. Actually sounds really good. The tape, you know, like I said in the interview there, the tape just does not really give it that justice. But it's a tiny little thing. I mean, it's a really small little thing. It sounds really good. Anyways, I do want to say thanks to Bart for giving me the opportunity to do that interview. And we're going to go ahead and play a couple more of his tracks to finish up this feature and then move on to the next thing. But yeah, him and his wife, great people, great musician, and had a lot of fun doing it. So thanks once again there, Bart. Do appreciate that. And I do believe everybody else out there appreciates it also. It's always very interesting to hear the insight of the actual personality behind us, the music that we hear out there on the airwaves. Anyways, we're gonna go ahead and play one of his Latin tunes. This is called Conga, and then we're gonna follow it up with a tune that he wrote for this particular radio show, that Velcro Touch. You of course are listening to the Velcro Touch Radio Network. I'm Adam Kittle, your host. Let's get right to it. Enjoy Bart Brady Chimpa Conga right here on.
Thank you.
Velcro Touch right there by Mr. Bart Brady Temple, one of his originals that was actually written for this radio program, and I do appreciate that. Well, there you have it, tonight's main feature, Bart Brady Temple's interview and feature. Real interesting stuff there, if I do say so myself, and had a great time doing it, and maybe down the road we'll have to do it again. Anyways, let's move on to the rest of the night, because I still got a ways to go here. I'm just getting into the second half of things, and we're going to kick it off with some Powers Retina, leading it off with the track called Train Specialist, and then we're going to follow it up with a track called Devil Hasn't Got Me. That'll be coming to you right after this.
You are listening to Velcro Sucks Radio with Adam Kittle.
Don't do anything yet. Let the train specialists handle it. They know that you are the man as white as the ocean blue.